We're so glad you're here today. We're going to continue our series on supernatural identity and what all that means in our life. And it's important that we know who we are in Christ, because if we don't, the world tries to put an imprint like a stamp and tries to mold us, you know, into its image. And when a Christian allows that to happen, we get robbed. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt kind of out of place in a situation? Sometimes we don't feel like we fit in, we kind of feel like a misfit, don't we? You know, and it just doesn't seem right. It's kind of like, I remember one time I went to my wife's family reunion. Whew, I wouldn't want to say that one out. I didn't say it out loud, did I? No. I went to my wife's class reunion, that's it. And she knew everybody, I didn't know anybody. You know, and just didn't fit in. You know what I mean? And, you know, they're from Wisconsin, I'm from Iowa, you know how that goes, you know, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's just kind of one of those deals, you know, it just kind of didn't fit. And, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, the world can make us feel, you know, sometimes like an ugly duckling. I know that's an old story, some of you may not even have heard that old nursery thing, but, you know, but really inside we're a swan, you know, and it's identity in Christ. That's so important. And the world tries to make us feel, you know, like we're out of place and that, you know, we don't really fit in, and keep your mouth shut. You know, your opinion, your ideas don't matter. But they really do. We're going to look at a couple scriptures in 1 Peter today. 1 Peter. And the first one, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And this, of course, this is written by Peter. And we all know who Peter was, right? So Peter, it says here, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, see, I looked that one up, I think I said it right, I'm not sure, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the utterance of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we ask you to lead and guide us, that you are the teacher. You're the revealer of truth in our lives today. Lord, I thank you so much for your anointing to be here that breaks every yoke of bondage on our lives. We thank you for the authority that we have as a believer. Lord, right now we just ask that you just move mightily on each of our lives. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, and I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Peter was talking to the church here, the churches located in different areas, and he was writing to them, and he used the unique word. He called them aliens, you know, people that were, you know, from a different place. And, you know, what it says here is that first, you know, remember last week I talked about Jesus. Of course, we should talk about Jesus every week, amen. But last year we talked in John chapter 13, verse 3, about how Jesus knew who he was and what he had. And you ought to look that up, or it's online now. You can check it out. And if you didn't make it last week, but you know, Jesus knew who he was. And here, Peter kind of said the same thing. He said, Peter, an apostle. He knew that he was a sent one. And you and I each need to know that we've been sent by God to make a difference in a lost and dying world. That's why God has us here. That's why he put us on this planet, to worship him. And Peter knew who he was and what he had and what God had called him to do. And like I said, the word apostle means sent one. And, you know, we need to know that God has sent us, and we need to go out and we need to speak the words that Jesus tells us to do. Amen. Now, it wasn't always the case in his life. Peter was kind of like you and I sometimes. Remember Peter? He always shot his mouth off all the time. He always said something stupid. Have you ever felt like that person? You always say something stupid in an awkward situation. What Peter was doing there from time to time, he was saying things and he just didn't know what to do with himself. But then all of a sudden, when he became born again, everything changed. And that's like it is for you and I. Amen. When we become born again, everything changes. And we have to be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. Now, he was talking to the Jewish nation, but mostly the Christian nation here that had been displaced. Now, throughout history, the Jews have been displaced a lot of times. They would get into sin, and then God would allow them to be taken into captivity. They'd be hauled away to a distant land, and then they'd get to come back home again. You know, it's just kind of like that. But this was kind of different here. These were Christians that had been scattered throughout the lands all around the area there. And what happened was that persecution was very harsh for them. You know, there has been a lot of attacks against the church, and, you know, really it was the worst mistake. The best thing the devil can do is to leave the church alone. Because if the devil leaves the church alone, over a period of time, we go stagnant, you know. We just kind of lull ourselves to death like Laodiceaville. But see, when the devil attacks us, that's when we get all stirred up. That's when we start to fight back. Something rises up inside of us. And see, that's what had happened here, really. The persecution had scattered the church out of Jerusalem, and they went to many lands, and now there are people placed everywhere. But yet, you know, it's different because, you know, we're not of this world anymore. Even though we live in this world and don't want to be weird about it, you know, but, you know, we're really not of this world. And see, after we become born again, you know, we really find out, if we pay attention, is that this earth is really not our home. It's not our home anymore. We just live here for a temporary time. You know, everybody gets a chance. I think about this every now and then. It's my weird spin on life, but to me, everybody gets a turn. We all get a turn at life, and what we do with that life is important. We should not take anybody else's turn away. You know what I mean? Everybody should get a chance. Everybody should get a shot at living this life and trying to live for God and to bring glory to His name. And it's what we do on this earth that really affects all eternity. Now, some people don't get a chance. And see, that's why we need to make sure that we're vocal as a church and, in a sense, militant in a way that we're willing to speak the truth of God's Word. Amen. Out into a world that really needs to hear. Because if we don't say it, they're not going to hear it. And see, like this, sometimes maybe we feel, I think, sometimes that we don't belong. And that's where our identity is lost, because sometimes we can feel like a stranger in our own land. It's like, you know, that example I mentioned of my wife's class reunion. And, you know, it was partially me. I mean, I can be extroverted sometimes if I force myself, but for the most part, you know, I'm just kind of chill, you know what I mean? I just like to go in and kind of chill out and kind of watch and things like that. I don't have to be up in front of people to enjoy life. I mean, I do this because God's called me to do this. You know, but, you know, in situations other than that, you know, I wasn't really thriving. Now, my personal opinion, I don't drink. I know, but you go to a class reunion, I mean, everybody's all lit up. You know what I'm saying? Not all of them, but quite a few of them. And, you know, the worst thing, you know, you can do is once you tell somebody you're a pastor is they want to talk to you about God and they're drunk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, I found out it's not as fruitful then, you know, and I, you know, I've had a lot of weird things happen to me when I go do weddings, you know, and I thought I was going to get beat up one time because I wouldn't marry these people. They didn't have a license or nothing. They were just drunk. They wanted me to marry them. And I said, no, I can't do that, you know. And anyway, it kind of got all settled out. But I mean, it's just different. You know, I felt like an alien in that place. I mean, I don't like the Packers, and everybody else there did. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, I'm a Bears, Viking, Chiefs kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? I will settle for, I like the Browns too, back when, I don't know if Baker's going to still be there or not, but I like the Browns. But, you know, I just didn't feel like I fit in. And I used to have a weird way of looking at things. I figured if I wasn't going to meet somebody again, why bother with the conversation? You know, I mean, I know that's a bad way of looking at it as a pastor, so I've tried to rewire myself and make it look, you know, understand that every conversation's important and stuff. So I try to do that. But, you know, you go into those situations and you don't know anybody. It's just, you really got to work at it, don't you? And it's so easy just to fit in. No, and really that's what the world tries to do us. And if we don't feel like we fit into the world, and then if we pull back, then we start to feel isolated. You can feel isolated in a situation. Like, you know, there's nobody there just like you. And, you know, I know that we can sometimes feel isolated as a Christian. You know, maybe we're frustrated, you know, with the way the government's doing things, or the way that our leaders, you know, that are supposed to be taking care of us are doing things. See, by leaders, I don't mean somebody that's in charge because they're not really leading. You know, the word leader means to be in front and having people follow us, not forcing people to do things. And see, that's what we need to understand. And sometimes when we feel that isolation, you know, and what happened is that these Christians, you know, and the church was a baby. You understand, we had the benefit of the Bible. We have all this information that we can, you know, just grab a hold of. And you can read the Bible in many different translations, you know, and whatever kind of clicks with the way your mind thinks. But this church was a baby church. They didn't really have a lot of maybe just basic information, and they were out there just trying to follow God. And then they were surrounded by people who were pagans, and they maybe lived in a different culture. They had left to maybe, some of them were maybe Christian Jews, and you know, they'd left their homeland. They went out and they lived in this world, and it was very difficult for them. And, you know, I've had it relayed to me. It never does bother me if I'm in this situation, but I know a lot of people say as a Christian, they feel like they're the only one at their job, and they feel isolated because they don't feel like they can participate in things that the others are doing. You know, and I just say, hey, that's okay, man. Just let the light shine. You know, but that's how some people feel like that sometimes. They feel isolated. They don't feel like, you know, they can be a part of everything going around them. And I think what happens then is that we can lose a sense of identity of really who we are. And when we're living in a culture that doesn't really have the same beliefs and things that we do. And so God, he showed us a picture in the Old Testament how important it is to stay connected. Because here's what he did. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 17, he commanded the nation of Israel, he said, all the males have to attend at least three feasts a year. You know what I'm saying? My fingers are stiff today. Three feasts a year. So no matter where you lived or how far you lived away from Jerusalem, three times a year, see this one worked fine, three times a year you had to come to Jerusalem, and you had to come and you had to be a part of something that was really bigger than yourself. And that's how important it was. See, it's so easy to lose our way when we allow ourselves to get isolated. So these Jews were out living far away from, let's say, the homeland, shall we say. They were out there on their own, but yet God wanted them to come and to reconnect, and that was for a reason. See, we live in a world, but we're not supposed to act like the world. But it's so easy to act like the world because, you know, we want to fit in, we want to make friends, and it's so easy to perhaps adopt the customs of the land around us that we live in. And what the Jews had to do, especially the males, and they probably brought their families too, but three times a year they had to come to Jerusalem. They had to drop what they were doing and go and make a pilgrimage, no matter how far it was, and they had to go to Jerusalem, and they had to honor God with their time, and they had to honor God with their treasure because they brought an offering to God. And see, that was a way that God knew that they needed to reconnect, because not everybody could live real close to the temple, you know what I'm saying? But see, the good news is for us is the temple. We are the temple. We're the temple of God, and God lives inside of us. And, you know, sure, God knew they could have worshiped at home, and a lot of people say, I worship God at home, and that's fine. But yet, God wanted them to come and to worship with people of like precious faith. And there's a power that you and I get in with connection that helps us with our spiritual identity. Because it's so good when we see other people like listening to you when you worship God and you're clapping and you're excited about God and just praising God and just, you know, just showing God how much you love him. And I don't know about you, but it's hard to do that all by yourself. But when you get around other people, it just stirs you up on the inside to want to get closer to God. And see, that's why we need each other. That's why God wants us to understand, you know, what our identity is and be in that connection. Then what's interesting to me is Peter just threw a word out in the New American Standard. It's in the first sentence there. He threw out the word chosen. Chosen. You know, and I want you to remember as we go through this that you are chosen. I don't know what that means to you if you've ever been chosen before, choosed before. I don't know if that's a word. But, you know, to me it's kind of like when you were younger and they were picking teams for basketball or something or some kind of sport. And they would go, I want this person, I want this person. And then maybe you were last. Maybe nobody ever chose you. Maybe you're the leftover. You're the misfit. There was 11 people and you were number 11. You know what I'm saying? That feeling where you don't feel chosen. But here, God wants you to know that you are chosen. He chose you. You may not have been the first pick for basketball, and I'm at 5'8", and I wasn't. But I want you to know that you are God's first pick. He chose you. And we step into that chosen status when we're born again, that we're part of the family of God, and we need to understand that and really hold on to that. 1 Peter 2:5 goes on to tell us a little bit better how we fit into this situation of being having a supernatural identity. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Okay, that really tells a little different, don't it? He says we're a living stone being built up in a spiritual house. So we're placed in the house. And to me, I know some of you guys won't get this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Pink Floyd was wrong. We are more than just another brick in the wall. Does anybody remember that old song? Y'all remember listening to that when I was a heathen, you know? All in all, you're just another brick in a wall. And it was kind of a message that says you're not special. There's nothing really neat about you. You're just a brick in a wall. But here God says that we're part of the building. We're part of the spiritual house, and we're a holy priesthood, and God wants to see that. So we're going to look at the idea of what it means to be living stones. See, we all have a place where we fit into God's house. We need to see that. We all have a place. Nobody is that 11th person. We all have a spot that we need to fill. And God wants us to do that. You know, and we're a part of God's eternal plan. God placed us here for a reason. You're not here by chance. You have been planned by God. And the purpose that He has for you is very important. It's something that only you can do. And what I want us to understand here is the idea of our supernatural identity is that we're stronger when we're connected to others. You know, when we're alone, you know, we're not as strong as we are that with people, and we link our arms together of people of like precious faith. Those who are on the same spiritual wavelength that believe, you know, God, you know, is bigger than all our problems and bigger than all our fears. Amen. And what we have to understand is as we come together, I know some of us are different. You know, some of us are more different than others, right? Amen? I know I am. You know, but love is the mortar that holds us together. Now, you really don't really think about mortar very much. It's that stuff they put in between the bricks or the stones, you know. And them stones, you can stack them on top of each other, and you can knock them over real easy. But if you put mortar, you mix some concrete and some sand and different odds and ends together, or it's mortar mix, not really concrete, but you mix that stuff together and you get it all soupy, and then you get it just right and you place it in between the bricks, and then you set the brick on it and you wait for it to dry, it's hard to break. That mortar holds things together. And see, that's what we need to understand, that we love each other. We need to love each other. We may not agree with each other all the time, but we love each other, and we need other people in our life, other Christians in our life, to be able to help us to live a strong, godly life. And that's talking about agape love. Agape love is the God kind of love. It's the kind of love that is sacrificial. It's the kind of love that we need in our culture today. It's the kind of love that will overlook other people's faults and only see the good. And I'll be honest, I'm a very simple person, and this is my default setting, and it, you know, I can be taken away from that, but my default setting is to think the best and forget the rest. You have to really prove yourself evil to me, because the way I'm wired, for whatever reason, I know what kind of person I was before I met Christ. I know the forgiveness and the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. So I try to think the best about people, and I forget about the rest. And I try to come to people with that same opportunity they have, you know, that God's given me, that I give them a chance, just like God gave me a chance. And I hope you adopt that for yourself and not be a cynical or negative person, because that's no fun. It's no fun to do that. Then it goes on to say here that, you know, we're a holy priesthood, and see, we need to allow God to place us in the wall. And I don't know about you, but growing up, I usually thought of a priest as someone who was really close to God. You know, somebody that, you know, was working for God and kind of had a better connection than everybody else, you know. And here, I don't know, have you ever considered yourself a holy priest? Now, I know we're Protestant, so don't tune me out right here, you know, when I use the word priest. But, you know, have you ever considered yourself a holy priest unto God? You know, what all that entails. You know, maybe you figure you could be a priest, but a holy priest. You know what I mean? What all that means. See, the holy, what it means is someone who is separated from the world to serve God. And see, that's what we have to do with ourselves. Even though we live in this culture and we need to function in this culture, we need to somehow, some way, allow God to come in to be a part of our lives so that we can live in this world but be separate from it. Not allow the ugliness and the things of this world to come upon us and make us like it. You know, to make us cynical, to make us negative, to make us hateful. You know, we need to try to get to the place, you know, where we can do that. And I asked this question one night in Wednesday night study, and, you know, I don't know if we ever got around to talk to it, but I challenged everybody and asked them, are you a saint? Are you a saint? Nobody's answering me right now. You are a saint. The Bible says you are. The Bible says that Christians are the holy ones. That's how we need to see ourselves. Not in a prideful way, but in a way that we know deep down inside that we are chosen, that we are called of God. And my supernatural identity is identify with Christ. And because of Him, I'm a holy one. And Jesus Christ lives inside of me. And see, what it says that we're supposed to do is, as a priest, is we're supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Number one, you know, we pray. The priest in the Old Testament, they were the representative from people to God, so they would pray on behalf of the people. And see, that way, that's part of our priestly duty, is that we lift up God, and by lifting up other people and drawing them close to God. Next, what we're supposed to do is that we're supposed to be a people of praise. You know, we praise God for who He is and what He does. You know, that's why we like to worship here at church. That's why we like to do these things. You know, we're singing to God. We're singing, hopefully, from the bottom of our heart of what God really means to us in our life. And when we sing these songs, we're lining our life up with those. You know, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Thank you, amen. That's what we need to do. That's what God's called us to do. And that's part of that priestly thing that God's called us into. You know, and we bring up, we're also supposed to offer up our talents and our giftings. There's things that God has put inside of you that maybe somebody else doesn't have, but when you bring that to the table and you're part of the, for lack of a better term, I don't want to demean it, but you're part of the team, the church team, you know, you bring a special skill set to the body of Christ that God has put inside of you. That you, when you use it, you know, the body of Christ is better. Amen? Just because of you, amen, the things that God's put inside of you, we're better because of you. And I'm glad for that. Amen? And that's why we need you and we need each other. Then it says also in the Bible that we're supposed to offer our body as a living sacrifice. That means God's will before our will. And this is Lordship salvation. You know, a lot of people maybe come to Jesus as their Savior. You know, He died on the cross. He was our substitute. But I believe, you know, and I try to understand sometimes when people kind of feel like they need to rededicate their life, I think what it is sometimes it's the next step that we want to, we've maybe made Jesus' lordship a little bit deeper in our life. You know what I'm saying? Before, you know, when you start out as a baby Christian, you're as saved as you're going to get, but yet, you know, your mind may not line up with all that yet. And see, as we grow in Christ, all these things start to come together and they start to fit together. And little by little, we surrender more of our life to Jesus Christ, even though He owns it all anyway. But now we're just living it out. And see, that's important that we understand what it means to make our body a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. A lot of people think it's suffering. There will be suffering, people. The Bible says so. But it's not all about suffering. To me, it's about living for His glory. And to me, the funnest thing I ever did was become a Christian. I used to think that'd be the worst thing I'd ever want. But when I finally did it, I found out it was the best thing I ever could have done, was to surrender to Christ. Okay, let's look at the last passage I want to see today in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Hopefully you've highlighted a little bit of this stuff in your Bible. Okay, it says, New King James Version, it says, but you are a chosen generation, there's the word chosen again, a royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. So here we see, you know, our supernatural identity is that we're the people of God. You know, we're on Team God right now, amen? We're the people of God. Now, what I like about it is in verse 10 it says, we were once nobody and now we're somebody. You know, I don't know, that's hard for people to swallow. But before you know Jesus Christ, you're nothing. Nobody. But once you accept Jesus Christ, you step into your destiny. You're somebody now. You're part of the people of God. Jesus died for everybody, but not everybody will accept that forgiveness in their life because they choose to reject him. And by not choosing, we've chosen. So we need to choose to surrender to him. You know, and what happens to Christians sometimes is, you know, we can get lost in the world and feel like nobody. See, that's what the world tries to do us. But see, the Bible says we're not nobody, we're somebody now. But we live in a world that hates us because they hate what we stand for. Hey, get over it. They hated Jesus and he was perfect. You know what I'm saying? So we know they're not going to like us all the time, right? I mean, if you think being a Christian is going to win you a personality contest, ain't no way. You're not going to win any. And to be honest, my life got better when I decided I wasn't going to win every personality contest. Amen? You know, I stopped trying to perform, and I started to yield, you know, to what Jesus Christ wanted me to do. So, people have lost their identity in our world as a person, as people, but also as a Christian, because they feel invisible. And this is my key to fix in our culture. One of the keys that I feel is very important. A lot of people struggle with their identity, especially gender identity and different things that people are going through right now. And this is my take on it. I know it's from the devil. I do know that. But I do know this also, that sometimes we live in a world, and it's harder now for young people, especially with the internet and all the Facebook and all the, you know, the Snapchat, the Twitter, or whatever else they're doing, TikTok these days, all that stuff, is that these people are living these fake lives online. And they make themselves look, they're larger than life. That if some people maybe are more introverted and maybe not as outgoing or have different issues going on in their life and some of them have been hurt, I know this. I've been doing this for, you know, 25 years plus, you know, as a pastor, and I've watched people, I've studied people, I've helped people. I do know some of the ones that do struggle have been injured in their soul. They've been cursed, their identity has been cursed by somebody. And when that happens sometimes, you know, they get tired of being invisible. So they try to find a way to make themselves uninvisible. And so this is one of the ways that I think in their own soul, in their mind, they try to do. You know, and they try to stand out in a crowd now, where before they just kind of were in the background. And see, that's the lie that the world tries to bring against our minds in different things, where we identify from all these different things. But see, if we identify in Christ, we're somebody. Amen? We're not nobody anymore. If they could just get that revelation that I've been created by God and I've accepted Jesus Christ when they do that. And if we do that, then we start to get the victory. Now, like I said, the dangerous part is when somebody tries to fit into the world around them. And that's what happens. When we try to fit in. But see, God's called us out of that, and God wants us to be something different. So, who does God say that we are? We're going to go over these things again a little bit. Chosen, okay. Chosen means when you're picked out of a larger group for special service and privileges. I like that word privilege, amen? See, just look at all the people sitting here. I could all of a sudden just say, Denny, I choose you out. I mean, look around you. Look at all the people. Why did I choose you? Because you chose me. That's what God wants us to see. When we choose him, he chooses us. You can be in a crowd surrounded by people, but know that God has chosen you because you chose him. He opened the door when he sent Jesus Christ. He says, if you believe on him, you shall be saved. And we step into that newness of life, and that's what God wants us to see. You maybe feel like you're surrounded by people, and you feel like nobody notices you, but God notices you. God sees your heart. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you know, God says he looks across the earth to find somebody whose heart is right for him. You don't have to be the best looking, the tallest, the shortest, whatever. You just have to have a good heart. Amen? Your heart. That's what God sees, is the heart. You may not feel like you're the prettiest duck on the pond, you know, but if God sees your heart, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And we need to see that. We need to stop comparing ourselves with others around us and just see what it is with our connection with God, and then try to put with love, put the mortar where we build relationships around us with other people of like precious faith. Our faith started with 12 people. And one of them was bad, Judas, you know what I'm saying? They found a replacement for him, but anyway, it started with 12, and Jesus invested his life in these people, and it turned into millions. Just thinking about that. The one that God chooses, he chooses people out, and there's millions of us right now, and that's powerful. Next, it talks about the idea of being part of a royal priesthood. Now, in the Old Testament, these were two different jobs. You had your kings, and you had your priests, and their jobs didn't mix. And sometimes the kings tried to stick their nose in the priest business, and that got them trouble with God. One of them even got leprosy because he did that. But in this New Testament revelation, we're a kingdom of priests. We're kingly priests. You know, we are called to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about being a ruling and reigning? I mean, think about that. That's powerful. But see, that's part of our identity. That's what we need to see ourselves as. Not that we're better than other people, but we're just what God wants us to be. I'm doing my best, you know, through Jesus Christ, what he wants me to be. And we're a group of sanctified saints. We've been set apart. God has set us apart for a reason. Then it goes on to say that we're a holy nation. You know, it's a mixed group of Jew and Gentiles who follow Christ. And we've been set apart for his pleasure. And, you know, God wants us to see that we've been set apart for him. And that's really why we're here. See, God created man to worship him. Man tries to worship other things, but God wants us to worship him. And we need to get back to that place. And lastly, the idea of being a special people. You know, I don't know about you, but hope you've had somebody in your life that made you feel special. Maybe your mom, your dad, your grandma, grandpa, somebody, a teacher. Somebody made you feel special. But see here, God says we're his special people because he's given us a mission. See, he's called us out, and it's not mission impossible, it's mission possible. He's called us out, and he's put inside of us everything that we need to have if we want to choose to use it. And first, what we're supposed to do is proclaim his praise. You know, we need to get excited about God when we start to praise him. We should be excited all the time. Amen. But here in this safe place, this is a safe place. Amen. And if anybody messes with you in this place, you talk to me. Because nobody messes with anybody in this place. Amen. This is a safe place. This is a place that we come until we worship Jesus Christ. And when we're singing and we're worshiping God, man, I want you to raise your hands if you want to. Even if you don't want to, because it's going to free you up. You know what I'm saying? You get to raising your hands. You get to singing from your heart, singing out loud. Just getting into it and just Jesus with everything you have. That's what he's called us to do. We're to proclaim his praise. And you're going to find out how liberating that really is. You know, I thought, I'll be honest, I've told this before, I just wanted the preaching. I didn't care about the singing. You know, just get on with it. Get it over with. You know, let's get to the word. But then I found out really what praise is in the presence of God. I wouldn't miss it for nothing now. I want it too. I want it. Amen. We need to want that. We need to enter in. And next it says that we're supposed to spread his blessing throughout all the earth. You know, we're people, we're supposed to bring blessing to people, not cursing. Amen? We're supposed to bless them. We're supposed to, you know, tell them about the good news. I thank God for the people that come and told me the good news, because I was living a lie. I was mixed up. Finally come to me, and somebody had an adult conversation with me about Jesus Christ and explained to me what God was really like. And then I had to think about it. And then I decided the right way. That's what you do. We need to spread that blessing. So how do we live it? How do we live this thing in from a world? So we need to be a worshiper of God if we ever expect to claim our supernatural identity. It's all part of it. We were created for praise, so we're going to have to tap into that somehow. You're just going to have to get there, whatever it takes to get there, okay? You know, if you have to practice at home, whatever it takes, but you're going to have to get to the place where you're really worshiping God from the altar of your heart. You know, that's what it's going to take. Next, we have a understand that we all have a God-sized hole in our heart that only God can fill. You know, mentioned this last week, the world's not enough. The world is satisfying in some ways, but it's never going to fulfill us, people. We have a God-sized hole, and we get to have to put God in that hole, and then that's going to free us up. Next, we need to understand, the Bible says here, that we were once in darkness, and now we are in the light. Light is far better. Amen? Amen. Light is far better, because we were in darkness. And last, we need to embrace our uniqueness. God made you're special. God made you different, maybe from other people. We're all different. We're unique, and we all have a different flavor, shall we say? But we need to understand that we need to embrace that and not shun it, not be ashamed of what we are. Right. You know, we're the people of God. And God has called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. And He's called us to proclaim His praises. You know, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everybody who believes. Amen? That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what God has called us to do, to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.